KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Chris Fiorentino, and thanks so much for joining us this morning. If you've listened to the show very often, you know that during most of our shows, we talk about the incredible work that Fresno State students, faculty, and staff are doing in the community through service work. Today, we're going to feature the great work of one of Fresno State's partners in crime in this work, the Community Food Bank. So in the studio with us, we have Community Food Bank CEO, Andy Souza. Andy, thanks so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to join us and share a little bit about your organization.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for the chance to be here.
And with Andy is a Fresno State student, Gabrielle Villaverde. And Gabrielle is going to be able to tell us not only about her work with Community Food Bank, but about what she experiences in terms of the benefits in the community. So welcome to Fresno State Service in Action, Gabrielle.
Hi, thank you. I'm really glad to be here.
So Andy, let's start with you. You've got a long history of public service here in Fresno, and I wonder if you wouldn't mind starting us off with a little self-introduction so that people understand not only your background and we know about the Community Food Bank, but just your real involvement and stewardship and work in this community over the years.
Well, Chris, thank you. That's quite flattering. And it goes all the way back to 40 years ago in 1977 when I first stepped foot on Fresno State campus. So I guess I truly am a partner in this engagement as one of the many alum who are back here invested back in the Fresno community. So not only your student body, your faculty, but we've got a great set of Fresno State alumni that are really making a difference here. But I was lucky enough to leave with my degree in business administration with an emphasis in accounting, spent 4 years in public accounting, and realized that while there's a lot of great things about it, it just really wasn't my temperament. And so I had the opportunity to go to work at City Hall. I started in the finance side there, spent 24 years at City Hall, had the opportunity to spend those last 5 years as city manager, which was a great experience working for both Mayor Alan Autry and Mayor Ashley Swearingen. So got to see both of those very solid administrations. And then after a brief time of transition, had the opportunity to join the food bank. And Chris, I think the most amazing thing from that transition was just realizing that as a city manager, you know a lot about your community, but there's a lot you don't know. There's a lot that I learned just about what's going on in Fresno simply by the day-to-day work at the food bank. So it's been quite a ride. It's been a great experience and just really thankful for the chance to reinvest in a community that means a lot to my family and I.
And you've been CEO for how many years now?
It was 7 years Wednesday of last week.
Oh, okay. You know, that's an interesting comment you make here. As a city manager, you're delving into issues in the community all over the place, but you're delving into it from the government sector side and you're working with people in the community. But, you know, this idea that you learn so much more about the city than you had known before by being involved in the community benefit or the nonprofit sector.
Chris, absolutely. And I use an example that it's probably not the most gracious, but it really frames it up is when I was city manager, you know, we often hear the reports and especially in the early 2000s of how, you know, hard life was in Fresno. We used to call them the misery index.
Mm, yeah.
You know, the Brookings report that comes out with the concentration of poverty. And when you're at City Hall and you see that information, you have two reactions. One is, hey, this is going to help us raise some grant money, so that's good. But also it's really, gosh, this is not good for our community and with some things we have to tell different. Fast forward to the Community Food Bank, and now all of a sudden, the numbers on the misery index are families and people. And now all of a sudden, what were simply concepts and numbers are now faces and people you meet and people you see. And you see the mixed emotions of the joy of receiving that food and yet that deep sorrow of not being able to provide for themselves and for their children. Mm-hmm. So it really is a night and day perspective. But having said that, not to take anything away from the great work that happens at City Hall, it's just different work. And it's really, those of us in the CBO world know firsthand, it just really is, there's a lot of pockets in our community that most folks really don't know much about.
And somebody that you know well, I know Matt Jindian, a professor here at Fresno State, has said before, you know, it's one thing to study things like poverty and hunger out of a textbook, and it's another thing to work with those who are hungry and impoverished and understand what statistics and theories and those kinds of things mean to those individuals and what the reality is.
Chris, absolutely. And Matt's spot on. I think one of the ways we would frame that is when you're in the textbook or you're just watching from a distance, there's a certain sympathy for the issue of hunger. But when you're out there presenting food to families, watching children clutch a clamshell of fresh fruit like my grandkids clutch a Christmas present, empathy comes into play. And all of a sudden, it's more than just names and statistics. faces, families, and it really does change your view literally forever.
Mm. Well, Community Food Bank is an incredible organization. And I think one of the challenges is, and even I have worked with you guys for many years, you know, a lot of times we don't understand the breadth and the depth of what you do. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about the scope of your work and the work itself.
Sure, Chris. And one of the challenges that we face, and you mentioned it as well, hunger really is a hidden epidemic. Most folks don't talk about hunger. Even families that we serve, there's still some stigma. There's still some shame involved. But yet here in our valley, here in the richest agricultural region of the country, if not the world, we have 1 in 3 children that are going to sleep hungry and 1 in 4 adults. Mm. And when you think about the magnitude of that, if you had a virus that hit our valley that 1 in 3 children weren't able to study, weren't able to cope in school, were dealing with the physical and psychological impacts of hunger, that's an epidemic. There would be, you know, outrage, there would be action taken. But unfortunately, hunger is just different. It's just not seen and it's not as prevalent. So we really are the largest hunger relief organization in the valley. We serve the 5 counties from Fresno, Madera, Kings, Tulare, and Kern County. We are blessed to have a tremendous support base up and down this valley. When I started in 2010, we were distributing about 19 million pounds of food. We're over 40 million pounds now. And when you hear the word 40 million pounds of food, it's almost too big to grasp. So
we throw out millions and billions and trillions like, you know, it's nothing. But 40 million pounds of food is...
It's basically, Chris, it's 7 truckloads of food, semi-truckloads going in and out of our warehouse every day.
Every day.
Every day. 7 truckloads. Semis. And that is feeding about 280,000 people a month. And of that 280, just about 95,000 of those are children. So we're making great impact. We're blessed to be so strongly supported in this community. But at the same time, there's just so much more to do.
You know, and I think that, again, putting that face to that, one of the things that I've seen in working in some of the distribution sites like Bulldog Pantry, that these are people who they're not just getting an extra bag of groceries. They're lining up at 3 or 4 a.m. for the only bag of groceries that that family will have for the week. And people don't understand that level of severe need that exists that your organization helps fulfill.
Yeah, Chris, absolutely. And as you mentioned, folks are there 3, 4 in the morning for many of our distributions. And when you talk about hunger, and I'll just take a little tangent here since I have a microphone in front of me, you know, we're all hungry at some point in time. And I think my kids call it hangry. Yeah. You know, when you're hungry and you're angry because you forgot to pack a lunch or you skipped breakfast this morning or something happened. We know the physical side of hunger, but the emotional side of not knowing if there's going to meal when I get home. You know, if I happen to work through lunch or miss lunch or something happens, I know that as I'm driving home, there's food in the refrigerator. I know that it might be a little bit of, you know, timing to get dinner on the table, but there's food there. Mm-hmm. A lot of the families we serve and a lot of kids that are in school in these families don't know for sure if there's going to be food when they get home. So it's not only just the physical side of hunger, but it's the physiological and the emotional side. And it shows up in a lot of the dysfunctionality with a lot of the kids just because of the emotions. And it's really an undescribed emotion. It's hard for them to really put to words the fact that they're nervous that there's not going to be food when they get home. It can be embarrassing. It can just be a challenge for them. Oftentimes, their best friends don't know about it at all. But yet, it's very real in those families.
You know, and I think you mentioned the kids and the emotional toll that it has on the kids. I mean, I can only imagine what it's like. I have 3 kids of my own and wondering, not only am I going to, you know, what am I going to have for dinner tonight, right? It's always the question like, hey, what do you want for dinner tonight? You know, I got to go by the store. Well, I'm not going to be able to put food on the table tonight for my kids. They're going to go to bed hungry, the emotional toll on them. And in many cases, in fact, I think in most cases, these are folks that are working. They are the working poor. They're working multiple jobs. Yeah. They're not just there with their hand out.
No, Chris, you're right. Most of the families we serve are working. At least one person's working, and oftentimes two. But the challenge with that, as you mentioned, of going home and not knowing what you're going to be providing for your children, we've had situations where when the drought relief first started back a couple years ago, the very first distribution, we were out in Fireball, and it was more men in line than we were used to seeing, just visually, even just late. So happened to meet a young man, just chatting with him beforehand. And he just said, it was on a Tuesday. He said, Friday, they told us there's no more work for at least 2 weeks. And he said, I don't want to be here, but I have 3 kids to feed. So I'll be here until I can get back on my feet and feed my children. So it's very real to those families. And the other part of it is because of the cultural issues we have in some of the, especially the rural communities, a lot of folks have this feeling that or a sense that if I admit that I'm in need, I'm not being a worthy parent, a supportive parent, and I might lose my children. And we've actually had families, you know, share with our staff that, you know, we don't want to be seen here because somebody may turn us into Child Protective Services because we're not providing for our children. So the emotional side of hunger is really much deeper than I think we normally know and experience. And I think, Chris, part of it, as you mentioned, is it's just not a part of the everyday life that most of us experience. We know people who've had cancer. We see the struggles with that. We see the physical and emotional toil of that. And so you can start to have that empathy because of somebody you know. But most of us don't know anybody or didn't go through that life experience. So it's really hard to project that, what it really means to those families.
Yeah. Well, and obviously you don't do this work alone. You don't distribute 40 million pounds of food to 10,000 families a week or so on your own. So you've got a bunch of partners out there in the community, your distribution centers.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, Chris. We have over 220 agencies we partner with, everywhere from Catholic Charities, Poverello House, some of the well-known partners that we have, to small corner church that has a pantry in the pastor's closet for the folks in the neighborhood that might be in need. And yeah, it really is that broad of an array. And we also do 95 direct distributions a month ourselves, and we call those neighborhood markets. And they literally are a farmer's market without a cash register at the end.
Mm.
Folks can come through, they can select the fresh fruits, they can suppress the canned goods that they need. And really, it's just a wide array of how we get it done. Because you're right, it's a lot of food if you think about how much we're able to distribute throughout these five counties. And a lot of folks coming alongside us, both at the agency level and volunteer level. And I know we'll be touching about that a little further in the show as well. But this work doesn't happen without over 5,000 volunteers we have working with us every year.
Yeah. And I'd love to talk about that, right? It's not just a matter of the distribution centers. It takes a lot of people to do this. It takes your staff, the volunteers, the donors. I wonder if, you know, maybe talk about the scope of the number of people involved in one way or another, at least directly with your organization. And then you've got all these distribution centers. So
yeah. So Chris, we have a staff of 40. And on top of that, as I mentioned, we have over 5,000 volunteers that come through, whether it's at a distribution site, whether it's in our warehouse working with repackaging goods that come in. But those 5,000 volunteers end up with about 40,000 hours for us alone, which, if you think about that, and it's a rough translation, but that's about 20 staff years. So that's about another 50% of our workforce
years, yeah,
you know, in volunteer, which, again, one of the things we pride ourselves in is the fact that we have one of the lowest costs to distribute a meal in the state of California, just because of a multitude of factors. But for every dollar donated to us, we can distribute 7 meals. That doesn't happen without a whole lot of support from volunteers and from other folks coming alongside us. So as an organization, we're blessed. But more than that, the families we serve are blessed, because that, instead of getting, you know, 2 pieces of broccoli, you might get 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the ability we have to stretch that.
And I think that's an important point, you know, for those out there that have donated or want to donate, become new donors to their local distribution center or to you, that, yeah, the cans of tuna and the bags of beans and rice and all those things are wonderful, but you can stretch a dollar much, much farther than somebody can go to Costco and whatever amount of food that they might be able to buy.
Chris, that's really one of the ongoing, I'll say, lowercase c challenges in food banking, is what you just described. It feels, when we say it, real mercenary. You know, give us that dollar because we can do. But when folks realize that instead of going the $10 that you spent to buy that one case, we can put 70 meals on a family. But yet there's just something intrinsic about handing food, knowing that is going to be on somebody's plate.
Yeah.
That piece of food that you're giving is going to feed a hungry child. So we will never let it be an either or. It's an and.
Yeah.
We're always grateful for folks that do the food drives. We just earlier this month had the Fresno Fair food drive. And so that's always a big part
big
of us.
One, yeah.
And so that's always great. But you're right. The value of the dollar to us, we really can stretch it a long way.
So 5,000 volunteers, and I know a number of those come from Fresno State, and Community Food Bank's been a partner with the Bulldog Pantry, a program started in 2007 by students. You've been alongside them since the very beginning. They're one of your distribution sites. You've worked real closely with Matt Jindian and Don Simmons and the Humanics program here at Fresno State in a number of ways, and you've been really instrumental partner in forming and helping to bring along the student cupboard that serves many of the students here on campus who are food insecure, who come from those same families that are served out at the distribution sites. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about those partnerships here with the Fresno State campus and what they mean to you.
I'll start with the campus pantry, because you were very gracious, and we're so proud to be a partner with them. But on-campus folks did a heavy amount of lifting. You know, Mary Castro and I had a chance to share that early on, and Jessica and her team that are out there, it's just tremendous work. It's ironic that, so we're part of the Feeding America Network, and one of the big themes now across the country is on-campus distribution, on-campus pantries, because it is truly becoming realized that we have this habit of kind of romanticizing the struggling college student living on Top Ramen noodles.
Yeah.
It's nothing but romantic. I mean, when I was in school 40 years ago, it was a whole different economics and a whole different world than right. It is today. And for kids who are coming from families that are really struggling already, yeah, it's an impossible burden. So we are so proud to partner with that, knowing the number of students here that may well have been with their families 2 years ago and our distributions are here, continue to get the support, because these are our future leaders. And every one of these students who can sit in class and be concentrating on class, not worrying about, okay, you know what, I'm not going to eat for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so instead
of, or
my family's not going to eat, right? So Chris, so it really makes a huge difference. And the volunteering, again, I'll touch on that. It is just great having students like Gabrielle and on our distribution center, not only because of just getting to know us and being part of us, but hopefully we can create a relationship that's going to last long into their professional careers.
Yeah.
Whatever that might look like. We might inspire somebody to join us in our work, or they may go in a completely different direction and continue to give back. Because one of the things we've seen is this generation gives back. These kids are kids. Listen to me. I can say that because I have grandchildren. So these kids really do. They care deeply, and they care in a manner that is both encouraging and exciting for us that do this work on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, Gabrielle, just get you in here. You know, certainly want to have your view on what it means to volunteer with an organization like Community Food Bank. But maybe you can start us out by just doing a little self-introduction so that people know who they're hearing on the radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm very humbled to be here today. I am currently a freshman here at Fresno State, and I lived in Fresno all my life. I also graduated with the class of 2017 from Clovis North High School. I'm currently majoring in business as a Craig Business Scholar and minoring in music as a flutist, and so far my experience has been wonderful. In the future, I aspire to become an esthetician, cosmetologist, and manage my own medical spa one day. I am very blessed that I was given the opportunity to speak on behalf of volunteering for Community Food Bank, and I cannot wait for what comes ahead for my journey with this compelling organization.
So, Clovis North student, you're a Fresno girl.
Yes.
Or a Fresno Clovis girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in talking with you a little bit before, you didn't just get involved in service work when you came here to Fresno State. You were involved a little bit before.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about your background in service?
During high school, I really wanted to get involved with the community, and it was something I was very passionate about. But I wasn't sure where to look, where to find places to volunteer for. And through my church, I found the opportunity to volunteer at Community Food Bank.
When you first started there, what kind of service work were you doing with them?
I started off working at the distribution center during the Saturday sort days from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. And that was something I was really intrigued by. I really loved doing it because I loved doing the behind the scenes work of packaging the food for people in need.
And that led you to other kinds of service work with them too, right?
Yes.
So what other kinds of things besides just the packaging of the food or the distributing of the food have you done with them?
Alongside working at the distribution center, I also was very interested in working in the office. So I talked with the volunteer manager about working at the office, and she gave me the idea of doing the client intake. And the client intakes are recording the amount of people who come to the distribution agencies to get food. And that was something I was really inspired by because I get to record every single person and get to read their names, get to know their backgrounds, get to know why they need food, which is really inspiring.
So you're seeing those names and the numbers of people that Andy was referring to before. So obviously doing the hands-on work of sorting the food and distributing the food, but the behind-the-scenes stuff too as well. I'm curious, you talked about maybe wanting to own your own business someday. And, you know, in terms of the benefits that you get out of this, obviously the good feelings. But I'm wondering, as a student, somebody's working to earn a college degree, somebody who wants to start a business, and just a plain old human being, what do you get out of this? What are the takeaways for you?
Well, for me, all I want is for someone to feel like there's hope in their life And I want someone to know that there's someone out there who cares for them, even though I've never met them before, even though I don't know them, even though I have no idea where they come from. I just want them to know that there's someone there who loves them and who appreciates them and who wants the best for them in everything they do.
Have you grown in your understanding of hunger and poverty in Fresno because of this experience?
Yes, I've greatly grown in that. I was honestly not aware of all the people who need food, and I was just really touched by the amount of people who need something and the amount of people who work tirelessly to make sure to end hunger in the Central Valley.
So, Gabrielle, if you're talking to a high school student or one of your fellow college students that doesn't really understand the value of volunteering, what would you tell them to help, you know, convince them that it's a good thing for them to give their time to somebody else?
Well, I would ask, do you love people? Do people matter to you? Because you have parents, you have relatives, there are people out there who love you so much. And I would tell them, since you love your family, why don't you do something to help others? And why don't you see the passion inside of you for your family members? Why don't you give that love to others in need?
A way to extend that to others, yeah. Andy, you network a lot with fellow community benefit organization leaders in our area and other of your peers across the country. And I'm wondering if you can help us close a little by talking about the value of volunteers, especially Fresno State volunteers, but the value of all volunteers when it comes to realizing your mission and meeting some of the needs out there in the Fresno and Central Valley area.
Well, Chris, certainly from an economic perspective, it adds a tremendous to our bottom line. We're not able to distribute 7 meals per dollar if we don't have a lot of support around us. But it's even deeper than that. When we have folks like Gabrielle come alongside, working with our client intakes, learning our clients, understanding their needs, understanding what can make a difference in their lives, it may not affect her right here while she's at our distribution center, but going home with that neighbor, with that family member, one of the things that is often not understood about hunger, and Chris, we talked about it earlier in the show, that it really is a hidden epidemic. And a little story that of my own awareness is when I became city manager, we moved to Fresno and we moved out to Woodward Lake. I drove past Valley Oak Elementary School every day for 5 years I was city manager.
Mm-hmm.
It's not until my third year as the CEO of the food bank, so that's 8+ years of driving past Valley Oak Elementary School every day, that I learned that 1 in 5 kids at that school are on free and reduced meals. 20% of that campus that's right there across from Woodward Park, right there with serving Woodward Lake, are on free and reduced meals. And that doesn't account for the number of kids who are probably eligible, but whose families aren't going to ask because of the stigma and the pressure that comes with it. So it's very real. And so when our volunteers are coming from those neighborhoods and they're joining us at the distribution center, it's a good reminder that somebody right there in their own neighborhood could be needing this service. So the volunteer aspect is just, Chris, when I started, I knew volunteers were important, but having been there 7 years now with a capital K, I know the value. It is really game changing for us as an organization. Without the volunteers, without Fresno State's great support and throughout this community, we're tremendously less effective than we are today.
And if somebody wants to get involved as a volunteer, as a donor, you know, they want to find out about a distribution site near them, they can go to your website or a phone number. Can you?
Sure. Thanks, Chris. Yeah. The website is communityfoodbank.net. There's a volunteer section there. There's a donate now section there. Those are all covered. Or they can call us at the food bank, which is 237-FOOD, 237-3663. Extension 106 is Jobelle Duke, our volunteer manager. She is a rock star in this world.
Tremendous.
She will get us set up. She does great work for us, and she will definitely get you connected, not only with us, but doing something within that volunteer program that really matters. It may be in the distribution center, it may be at a distribution, but whatever matters most to the folks who want to come alongside us.
Great. And we'll make sure that we post that information and that website to our Fresno State Service in Action Facebook site. Well, you know, I just, again, there's a lot of fantastic community benefit organizations out there, right? And I think that the thing about Community Food Bank, it's one of the most impressive in terms of just the incredible scope of work that you do and the importance of the services you provide. I mean, when somebody's hungry, that's one of those things that affects them emotionally, physically. You know, we need food to survive, and you're out there doing that work every day, Andy. And I just thank you for you and your team for providing that food that's just so desperately needed. And thanks for being such a great partner with our university as well.
Well, Chris, thanks for the chance to be here today to continue to share the good news and also tell the story of all the great work that's happening here in our community.
And Gabrielle, you're a wonderful role model for other young people and really for anybody out there in the community. So thanks for all you're doing through your time and service to make our community a better place for everybody.
Thank you so much. I'm really blessed to share my experience with Community Food Bank. Thank you.
Well, we have to wrap it up. My thanks to our guest, Andy Souza of Community Food Bank, and to Fresno State's superstar student, Gabrielle Villaverde. To all our listeners, thanks for joining us this morning. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program here on KFSR. And like I mentioned before, like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action and reach out to Community Food Bank and join in them with the volunteer and or donor contributions that they so desperately need. And I know Andy and his team greatly appreciate it. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM, and we're streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.